Hello and welcome to the Airline Weekly Lounge. I'm your host, Gordon Smith, and this week I'm joined by co-host Jay Shabbitt to discuss the airports that are likely to be the winners and the losers for the coming summer season. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
I'm good, Gordon. How are you this week?
Doing very, very well. I am on my travels. I think a couple of weeks ago you were joining us from Florida, so I thought it was only right that I got my little drawstring bag and headed to the airport myself.
Now, where could you possibly be?
Oh, you gave me a couple of clues as to where you were last time. Without wanting to befuzzle our listeners, I am in Belgium, in Brussels, to be specific, and I'm here ahead of the Airlines for Europe Summit, which kicks off tomorrow. I say kicks off, it's a one-day event, but it's an annual gathering of industry leaders. And Jay, you'll know better than I do, and I'm sure many of our listeners know as well, there's a fair few aviation events that are kicking around the calendar, especially in these post-COVID times. Everyone's getting back together for physical in-person events, and they're not all made equal, but this one is a keeper. This one got me on the plane from Lisbon up to Brussels today. The roll call of who will be there tomorrow, it is really a golden list of European aviation CEOs galore. More on that in the next issue of Airline Weekly, probably the week after next, given the way that we are recording and just the way the event falls. But yeah, stay tuned. I've got some exciting interviews hopefully lined up for tomorrow.
Yeah, it really is an all-star lineup. I saw the agenda and looking forward to that. Now, we are speaking, just so everyone knows, on Tuesday, a little bit earlier than usual this week, on Tuesday afternoon, New York time, about almost close of business here. And you probably, for everyone listening, it'll be the conference that Gordon just referred to will have been completed. So be sure to check out our next Airline Weekly. We'll have a lot of coverage from the conference and a whole bunch more. Yeah. So what are we talking about today, Gordon?
Today, Jay, we've got a double-pronged approach, as is proving popular, but we're splitting it into winners and losers, to put it simply. And we're looking at airports, which is slightly unusual for us here on the Airline Weekly Lounge, because we are starting to get into the summer season. And if nothing else, we're getting into the second quarter of 2024. And that's an important time in any business. Quarterly reports are sort of common fixture of the year. But in the aviation industry, it's a particularly important time when you switch from the winter schedules to the summer schedules. And there are some airports around the world that are going to be looking at 2023, looking at 2024, and let's just say they're not all going to be looking too happily at those numbers. Jay, you've been crunching the data for us, which is what you do better than most. Let's have a look, first of all, at least in part one, at some of the big winners for the coming quarter. Give us your top line take. Who's looking happy going into quarter two of 2024?
I appreciate that, Gordon. So I'm going to say a few things up front. As Gordon mentioned, we're really, it's hard to believe, but we're really just, is it less than 2 weeks away from the second quarter? So usually what I do, when we're coming upon a new quarter is I'll have a look in the Cirium DO database, and that has all the information on flight schedules from across the world, different airports, different airlines. And so I was, spent a good chunk of my morning today just looking through how schedules are shaping up for the second quarter. And the first thing I'll say about that is if you look at every airport in the world with scheduled air service and compare this upcoming second quarter versus the second quarter of last year, so we're just doing year over year here, not, we're not looking back pre-COVID or anything like that anymore. Though I did do that as well, and that may come up in the conversation, but for now we're looking year over year, so versus last year, and every airport in the world, total seats worldwide will be up about 8%. So we have a decent amount of growth year over year, which may sound a little surprising and may even conflict with with all the news that we've been hearing about aircraft delivery delays and no one's getting their airplanes on time. So it may seem a little bit odd that we'd still be showing, quite a bit of growth. I mean, that's almost double digits, 8%. So next question is where is this growth specifically? Pretty much everywhere. I mean, almost every airport in the world, every major airport, You know, certainly going down to the top 100 in the world by seats. Almost every one of them is showing year-over-year gains. Now, the biggest gains tend to be the ones in Asia, some of the big East Asian hubs. Hong Kong, if you look at the top 100, the busiest 100 airports of the world, the most growth is in Hong Kong. We're up 44% year-over-year. So what that's showing is we're still in recovery phase in Asia. Even though pretty much every market of the world, even mainland China, was already open at the beginning of 2023, we're still in that period where a lot of these markets are rebuilding. Shanghai Pudong Airport is second, also 44%, fractionally a little bit behind Hong Kong. And same thing there. We're starting to see a lot more, some of that, let's say, short haul capacity, Shanghai to Tokyo, Shanghai to Seoul, Shanghai to Bangkok. A lot of that stuff is coming back. It wasn't quite rebuilt last year. So those are, you tend to see those Asian airports populating most of the top gainers in the list year over year. There are a couple of interesting ones, though, that aren't in East Asia. Abu Dhabi, 29% up year over year. That seems to be just Etihad kind of getting a new revived taste of it for expansion. You know, this was one of the most ambitious airlines going back, you know, 10, 15 years ago. They, you know, they'd show up at an air show and just, you know, buy everything off the shelves from Boeing. It's not quite like that anymore, but there is a new management team there. And they are, believe there's some talk that they might even do an IPO of their stock. You know, that's probably speculative, but in any case, they are starting to grow back. There's also some low cost carriers like Wizz Air is active in Abu Dhabi, so that explains some of their growth. One more before you know, and then I'll stop talking here, stop yapping. But Rome's main airport, Fiumicino, is up 23% year over year, and I think that's just been a really strong market. A lot of tourists going to visit Rome. Also, I think low-cost carriers have gone in there. ITA, the successor of Alitalia, has added more capacity this year versus last. You know, some of the Ryanair as well, some of the low-cost carriers. So, I'll stop there. But it is an interesting list, and you know, we'll probably run a portion of it in our issue next week.
Absolutely, Jay. And interesting, you mentioned Rome there, which. Of course, you know, the enduring appeal of Rome for international tourists, not so much a business city, that's maybe more Milan's game, but it strikes me as being a relatively mature market. And you'd think by quarter two of 2023, most of the airlines that would operate out of there were back. A little bit of Asian traffic here and there, maybe still to recover. But 23% is an astounding number for a relatively mature market like Rome, is it not?
Yeah, it's really high. And then when we talk about in the second half of the conversation, we'll talk about some of the places that are either shrinking or may have slowed a bit. And it is interesting, we'll get to this, but some of the leisure markets, sort of big leisure heavy markets, are starting to slow a little bit. But Rome, interestingly enough, is not one of them. And I mentioned, you know, a few reasons why. I think ITA is, you know, they're still kind of getting their feel after, you know, they had the whole post-Alitalia restructuring. And so there's some of that. It's actually Ryanair has a lot of, I'm actually looking at the data now, specifically by airline. Interestingly enough, I apologize, Alitalia is, or the ITA is actually, they are down a little bit year over year, but Ryanair is up a lot. And Vueling is up, and several other carriers. And then the U.S. carriers, Delta up 77%. I mean, not a huge, the base is not huge, but American up 26%. So a lot of the U.S. carriers are adding. United up 136%. So the big three U.S. carriers are adding a lot of frequencies as well. So it's, I'll backtrack on the ITA / Alitalia. I don't think it's so much that. It's the European low-cost carriers and the U.S. kind of big long haul carriers that are driving that growth.
Really interesting stuff. And you mentioned the US there, Jay. Are there any US airports that have grown particularly well year on year? Any particular highlights that you can pick out?
Yeah, now the US is it's a more mature market, and it's also a market that has that kind of grew back from the pandemic a little bit earlier than some other regions, certainly than Asia. So you don't see, if you look at, you know, the top 20, there aren't any huge you know, US growth airports. I'll take a couple that do stand out. They did reach double digits. So Denver, which is amazingly the seventh busiest airport in the world now by seats. It's hard to believe that
is wow. Like that.
Yeah, Denver's just doing, it's just amazing growth there. That's going to be up another 11% in the second quarter versus last year. And then we can throw into that same category Dallas-Fort Worth, another like superstar growth market. That's going to be up another 10%. We know that American there is growing a lot. And Denver, you've got three airlines essentially. You know, it's a three airline battleground for Denver. So you've got United, Frontier, and Southwest. So some of that, and these are both cities. Denver and Dallas-Fort Worth are both metro areas that are growing very fast in terms of population, in terms of economy. In fact, and I'm not sure I have it in front of me here, but the Census Bureau just came out. The U.S. Census Bureau just came out with new data for 2023 population, and the Dallas metro area is now over 8 million people. So it's creeping. It's still number four in the U.S. behind New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. But it continues to creep up on Chicago, which is losing population. So the Houston, by the way, is now number five. So, and Atlanta is number six. It just pushed ahead of Philadelphia. So some interesting things happening in the U.S. In terms of population trends. Those two I'll call out, and at risk of talking too much here, I'll just mention that Charlotte, it's not one of the, it's number 16 on the worldwide list, but that is going to be up 16%. And that's another example of American just kind of doubling down on Dallas and Charlotte. Those are their, all-star hubs. And, they're just throwing a lot of new capacity into there. And I haven't looked at that closely. I imagine there's probably some low-cost carrier growth there too. Frontier is pulling out of some of these Florida markets. They may be thrown into a place like, some of these other markets I mentioned. So there you have it. There's some U.S. growth stories.
Growth across the board, but not completely universal, as we will discover in part two, dare I say, Jay. Thank you for your insights on the winners of the coming quarter. Stay with us. In part two, we will be looking at the airports that are maybe slowing down, have sluggish growth, or may even see a capacity reduction year on year compared to 2023. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this very short break. Hello and welcome back to the Airline Weekly Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Gordon Smith, and this week I'm joined by co-host Jay Shabbat. And in part one, we have been discussing airports, which isn't something we usually drill down into, but we are entering the second quarter of 2024. So it's an opportune time to look at capacity growth around the world. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, it's around 8% globally.
Yep.
There we go. I do remember things sometimes. 8% year on year, but the growth is not completely universal. Part one, we discussed some of the winners. Now we're going to look at some of the airports that maybe haven't been performing as well, or maybe won't be performing as well as we look into the coming quarter. Jay, any sort of standout headline figures you want to talk us through?
Gordon, I'm wondering if we should have done the good news stories last. Now we're going to leave people on a down note, but next time we'll have to remember to leave people, in a happy.
I think people secretly quite like to know who's not faring quite as well. So
yeah, maybe it's the dark side of us all. We want to hear the bad news, but more seriously, yeah, there. It's overall a very good story because of the top 100 airports in the world. Again, I just, you can cut it off where you want, but I'm just looking at the top 100 here in terms of, number of seats. There's only six of those 100, which are going to be negative this quarter versus last year. And those six are Newark, Antalya, Turkey, Mexico City, Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, Hanoi in Vietnam, and Cancun is down 10%. That's kind of at the bottom of the list, Mexico. So we can just very briefly go through some of those. So there's, you know, it's always important when you look at these numbers, not to be too quick to judge, you know, what's it doesn't automatically mean that these airports are, you know, having some sort of trouble or there's something alarming going on. In Newark's case, I think that's mostly due to cutbacks that airlines have been sort of forced to do because of air traffic controller shortages in the New York area. So you also see like JFK, it happens to be up, but it's only up 2%. It's one of the, you know, slowest growing airports in the United States. And that's same type deal. There's a shortage of air traffic controllers. Mexico City, that's also a quirky kind of thing. There's, you know, the president is trying to move some capacity over to alternative airports. So Mexico City, the main airport, is losing some. The two cases of Vietnam, that was, I think, just a big bubble there that's starting to burst. I think there are a couple airlines that got out over their skis, expanded a little bit. Bamboo, I think, are they even still around? I'm not sure. But Vietjet, another one that just threw in too much capacity, and I think they're kind of retrenching. The two probably most interesting ones on this list of six here are Antalya and Cancun, because these were both huge beneficiaries of the post-pandemic leisure boom. These are both beach markets, you know, Antalya and Turkey's Mediterranean coast, and then Cancun on the Caribbean coast in Mexico. And they both just, you know, just huge influx of tourists in 2022, 2023. And I think that's kind of petering out now. You know, I think Cancun, you can add, you know, sort of a subplot there is that some of the Mexican carriers are now authorized, you know, there's some safety regulatory reasons that they couldn't expand to the U.S. Now they can. So they, you know, they might pull a domestic flight from, let's say, Mexico City, Cancun, and they'll shift that from Mexico City to the U.S. So Cancun, you know, suffers from that.
And what about the Tulum factor, Jay? I'm not completely familiar with the Yucatan Peninsula, but I understand there's an international airport of sorts that's now open in Tulum, which, for listeners who aren't familiar, it's a popular beach resort, a little bit sort of a hippie vibe, but becoming more mainstream. And that's, even though there's a freeway between Cancun International and the Tulum resorts, you're still talking about an hour, maybe even 2 hours in heavy traffic, but you've now got an airport there. Could we see a little bit of capacity shifting south?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that's probably explains some of the decline as well. And yeah, it is, like you said, I didn't drive it myself, but I was on a bus that between Cancun and Tulum a couple of years back. And yeah, it is pretty close. So that does suggest that there could be some substitution effect there, you know, that people who might have gone to Cancun. So yeah, I think that's a great point to add, Gordon.
And surprising, you mentioned Turkey, and Vietnam as well. And actually there's quite a few surprising mentions there, but the Turkish resorts really stands out, because you just assume, even with some of the geopolitical situation, I understand that Turkey's particularly popular amongst Russian tourists who maybe traditionally might have visited European destinations that aren't as easy for them to reach now. But you would still assume there would be a net increase in these Turkish resorts, which are still proving very, very popular for tourists, both in the Middle East, coming for the slightly cooler conditions in the summertime, but also from traditional Northern European destinations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't read too much into that one. I mean, Istanbul is, they're up. I mean, it's only, actually, Istanbul's only up 6%. So it's, you know, there may be a slowdown there too. But of course, that's a very different market than Antalya, which is, you know, Antalya is just, as you alluded to, really pretty much 100% leisure. So we should find out more very soon, because Turkish Airlines is one of the, there's not too many big airlines that haven't reported their Q4 results yet, Q4 23 results yet. So when they do theirs, they'll do an earnings call, and their management team will hopefully shed some more light on why Antalya is down. We can, you know, just very quickly look at we can just, you know, drill that down by individual airline, and we can see, for example, that, and I'm running it as we speak here, We can see that Turkish Airlines, interestingly, is down a lot. They're down about 40% in seats. And I'm not sure whether that is. I'd have to look a little bit closer. It might be, you know, they're launching this new airline called AJet now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is really just Anatolia Jet or Anadolu Jet, they call it. They're kind of a rebrand of that. And there may be some moving around. So I hesitate to say that Turkish is, you know, souring on the market by any means. But there is, interestingly, you mentioned very, you know, rightly so, you mentioned that there's been an influx of Russian tourists. Well, Aeroflot, their capacity to Antalya is down 26%. And I do not know off the top of my head what that's about, whether that's, you know, that could be everything. That could be anything from, you know, they just don't have the planes because whatever, they're short of parts, or, you know, they're obviously under their Boeing and Airbus planes are, you know, they're under international sanctions. So it could be something as simple as that, or perhaps there could be, Russian tourists differing, you know, some changed travel patterns. Maybe they're going somewhere else this summer. So we'll for sure keep an eye on that. And like I said, hopefully we'll get more color from the Turkish Airlines Q4 report that should be out pretty soon.
Superb. And Jay, will we be looking at any of these numbers in a bit more detail in the coming issue of Airline Weekly? Maybe give our readers a little table to chew over. Appreciate it's not the easiest thing to be number crunching in an audio format.
Yeah, for sure. I know. Sorry to throw so many numbers at all of our listeners today, but hopefully we spotlighted some interesting trends. And absolutely, you'll be able to read more about some of this in our upcoming issue. And if I can just leave you with the final piece of information here, which I think is very interesting, I'm going to name, Gordon, the 10 busiest airports in the world for the second quarter. Are you ready?
Oh, go on. So let's go. I don't know about you, Jay, but there's a show that used to be called Top of the Pops in the UK. Listeners might know about it. And it was on every week. And I'm old enough to remember it in its heyday. And it would be appointment to view television. And they would do the countdown of the biggest singles of the week. And the climax of the show was the top 10. So are we going to go in the top 10, Top of the Pops star?
Okay, well, do you want to go in reverse order?
Let's go. Okay, starters countdown at number 10. Let's go.
I hope I'm not using an obscure reference here, but does anybody know Casey Kasem? Does that ring a bell? He was the American, version of what you're talking about. He'd go on it was a radio show, and he'd do the top 10. So I was going to do my Casey Kasem voice, but probably two-thirds of our listeners would have no idea what I'm talking about. So I'll use my own voice and saying number 10. I'll try to be a little dramatic here. Coming in at number 10 is Shanghai Pudong Airport. Remember, this is just airports, not entire cities. Some cities have multiple airports. Number 9, Chicago O'Hare. Number 8, Guangzhou. So that's even bigger than Shanghai. Number 7 is Denver, as I mentioned earlier. Number 6, Istanbul. I think I mentioned that earlier as well. Number 5, Dallas-Fort Worth. Amazing how far that's come. Number 4, London Heathrow, still up there. Number 3, Tokyo Haneda. Number 2, Dubai. And coming in at number 1, want to take a stab, Gordon? Busiest airport in the world?
I don't think I'd be authorized to present this podcast if I didn't know the answer, Jay. is it home to CNN, Coca-Cola, and lots of peach-flavored items?
Yeah, and an airline that you may have heard of too called Delta.
Never heard of it.
So yes, number Atlanta coming in at number 1, and by quite a margin too. It's for the second quarter, 16.4 million seats, and Dubai at number 2 is 14.7. So Atlanta still far and away the busiest airport in the world.
Outstanding stuff. And I did say I shouldn't be qualified to present this podcast if I didn't know the answer to that, but I have never actually flown through Atlanta. So there was
flew through Atlanta?
For my sins, I have not. I've done Memphis back in the Northwest Airlines days. I've done Philly. I've done Charlotte. Not to go off on a tangent of everywhere I've been and not been in the US, but it's somewhere that is yet to be reached. So maybe actually, you know, we've got the Skift Aviation Forum coming up in November in Dallas-Fort Worth. I might be I don't know. I'll go out of my way, perhaps, and take an indirect routing through Atlanta just to check that one off, perhaps.
I think you need to do that. Yeah, it's you have to, as similar Navy, you have to experience Atlanta.
Absolutely, absolutely. And right.
Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport.
There we go. Full name. Thank you as always, Jay. That's been really, really interesting. And if you've got any questions or follow-ups, appreciate there's a lot of data to crunch through there. Don't forget, you can always contact us via email. Our address is airlineweekly@skift.com. And we will have much more data, as we promised you in the Airline Weekly issue. If you want any more information about that, go to airlineweekly.com. There you can subscribe, but you can also get a free trial issue as well to find out what all the fuss is about. Thanks to Jay for joining me this week, and wherever you are in the world, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Airline Weekly Lounge podcast. Check out airlineweekly.com for a new issue every Monday and updates on the latest airline news throughout the week.